this whole Jaden Ivey situation has gone way beyond its necessary value. Now, I'm pretty sure most of you have heard what he said already regarding the gay community. And he didn't even say much. He just said it was unrighteous. And somehow people are taking it as if he said faggot or fag or homo or something derogatory. He simply stated that the NBA choosing to do Pride Month, which is what all organizations are starting to do since the last 2 or 3 years, now it's become a problem because of his faith. And he said that it was unrighteous. He didn't say it was unrighteous when the NBA was going to have Magic City Night. He didn't say nothing then. Now, they, instead of doing Magic City Night, they're going to do an Israel Appreciation Night. Man, I tell you, these people are truly pathetic. They are. They truly are pathetic. Side combo. Instead of just doing, okay, let's do another Black History type of appreciation, or let's do something that appreciates music or hip hop. No, they're like, well, let's bring the frequency even lower by doing a Magic City Night, which they knew they weren't going to do. They weren't going to have Negro women be strippers all over NBA stadiums. They weren't going to do that. So they knew exactly what they wanted to go to first. They think, okay, the next best step up is let's do a Israel Appreciation Day. That's the next step up. That's how much they think about you Negroes. Y'all love watching these sports, love watching these players, love watching these controlled oppositions in these little NBA teams that they have, because they can funnel everyone through Prince Harfrey Mason, because it's not that many players on a team. It's hard to do it on a football team. It's easy to do it in NBA. Easy. And most of them, or some of them, are already in Black Greek organizations, so they're already a one step away from Prince Hall Freemasonry. But back to this Jaden Ivey situation. He wanted to state that it was unrighteous. He didn't say nothing else. And then he went on a couple other rants about what the scripture says about homosexuality, which we know those scriptures have been in the Bible for a while. It has not changed what the law states on homosexuality. And I wish they would go deeper, but I know they won't. I know they won't. Somebody with real understanding, I would have said, if they put me ever on Front Street and say, well, what do you think about the homosexual situation? I would say, look, these are laws, statutes, commandments meant for Israelites. Y'all do whatever y'all want. None of you don't care, out really care outside of him calling you reprobates. When he says, let you have to vile affections, man on man, woman on woman, if you want to be reprobates, be a reprobate. The scripture wasn't meant for everybody. It was meant for the called out assembly, Gentiles, and it's about Israelites, period. You don't even have to go into it if you're outside of that nation. If you want to go do something else, do something else. But they're trying to force this, oh, let's make it righteous. Let's make it be about every other sin, but we can't talk about this sin of homosexuality. Knowing that the Most High has burned up Sodom and Gomorrah over homosexuality, and now even people are trying to divide the word on that. Like, oh, it wasn't that homosexuality was a sin, it's because they wanted to rape the men. That's what made it a sin. And everybody's trying to water down the word to accept homosexuality. If you want to, at this point, they have churches dedicated to transgenderism. They have churches dedicated. They even have a Bible. They have a gay Bible, which makes it very, very easy for people to come into religion, not the true word or the true way, the true path, but religion to accept homosexuality. They already have these churches. And the gay community is already in most of these Black churches that are led by Black Greek organization pastors and Prince Hall Freemason pastors. They're already in there. For some reason, it's more in the Black churches than it is the white churches, because the white churches don't stand for it. The white church said, we're not going to accept it. And so the gays of the white community, they're like, all right, we're going to have our own pastors and have our own church. I have not seen a Black church with its own, well, I've seen Black pastors being gay lead a heterosexual and homosexual church, but I have never seen a homosexual pastor lead specifically only a homosexual church. So that should tell you something. It really should, how ignorant our nation truly is. And then I look deeper into the whole Jaden Ivey situation, especially with his parents. His mom played at Notre Dame University. In 2020, she became the first Negro woman to be a coach for a prestigious, predominantly white institution of women's basketball. The first. And I thought to myself, it has to be a ritual in there somewhere. A sacrifice has to be made somewhere. You just don't be a Negro woman at that to be leading a predominantly white institution, being the first without a sacrifice or ritual following after it. Six years later, here we have Jaden Ivey. Did you know that his mother's basketball jersey number was 33? And his father works for the NFL Trust, which is just like another branch of NFLPA that deals with NFL players who are out of the league and have to need certain services to get back on their feet, whether it be for a job, internships, masters, or MBA programs that they have in certain colleges around the country. That's who he works for. He was in my draft class. 2002, he was drafted in the sixth round by the Baltimore Ravens. Didn't play that long, but yeah, makes you feel old. They got a whole son doing this ritual from a guy that was in my draft class. And then, of course, as soon as he said what he said, then he goes on and talks about how his wife is not answering the phone calls. And if you've seen this video where he talks about his wife not, he says his wife is in here and she's not texting me. They got about, three or four kids. They got three or four kids together. Young ones, too. It ain't like they're older. Young kids. Like, they hit these children back to back to back. And you're going to tell me, within the 24 to 48 hours, she's just not answering your calls? Y'all got small children? You going to tell me she ran to either the mother or the father? Because he saves his family without them being attacked. That's what he did. That's the psyop. He saved his family from being attacked. Because if he said that, oh, my wife is riding with me, everybody would have done exactly what they're doing now, is run to her Instagram page. I've already seen it. They ran to her Instagram page, started following her, and then started commenting on posts that she ain't posted in like last year or so. Which is really odd that people do this, especially when people die. People run to their Instagram page and start commenting as if the dead person is going to see these comments. So he saved his wife and his family from being attacked for beliefs, because they wouldn't be able to fend for themselves. He saved his parents, knowing that they're in a prestigious environment. He saves his mother just came out of the Final Four. They were in like the Final Eight and they lost, I think. He saves her because he says, oh, my family is walking away from me. They're shutting me out. That's their way of protecting them. So it doesn't reach Notre Dame. It doesn't reach his mother having to do a press conference and explaining her son. So he helps them out by saying he's isolated now. Now it's about him. People walked away from him. And then at the very end of this video, there's a guy in front of him. You don't see him, but there's a guy in front of him that goes, he goes, Jaden. And he whispers to him because he just starts scrolling. I don't know if he's scrolling through the comments or he's scrolling through social media. He's just scrolling. And the guy goes, Jaden. You don't hear what he says after that, but he calls his name. So it makes me believe that he is managed, that all this little crisis that he has is managed. And he didn't waste no time but to jump on different Christian platforms, especially those who are associated with right-wing conservatism. He was jumping on their podcast talking about it's not lawful for man to lay with man, which is in the scriptures, of course. But it's a way to turn people in turn against Scripture. This is the Satan's biggest plan, is to turn people into Scripture. So by the time they reveal that it's all about symbolism, it's all about a sun god, then you won't believe in any of it. You would think all of it's myth. You believe through the destruction that's going to happen, you believe, oh, there isn't really a god. And the Most High says this. He said, when they begin to lose hope, when they in their minds, in their hearts, reason with themselves that there is not a God and he is not coming back, that is when the time will awaken. This is the biggest delusion that they've been working on for, I would say, centuries. And it has to be centuries, because they have to start it from the groundwork of somewhere. And this is why I say that when it comes to Europeans actually sticking with something, they're going to stick with it. Like, the king of rock and roll has been Elvis, and it'll always be Elvis. It has not changed. With us, when we say the king of something, it changes. That's why these rappers come out and say, oh, I'm the king of this, I'm the god of that, I'm the king of this. We have so many kings in hip-hop because we like variety. But when it comes to them, it's one thing. It ain't even Zeus, it ain't Aphrodite, it ain't Athena, it ain't even Horus, it ain't Isis, it ain't Set. It's Jesus Christ. That's it. You look at that Holy Week, and I'm going to get into this later. If you look at that Holy Week that they do, a week before Easter, it's been the same since forever, right? It's the same. I know some of you who came out of Catholicism. It is the same. This Santa Semana, whatever, the Holy Week, that they bear these big old statues and I don't know what they even made out of, but it must be heavy for them to have like 30 to 40 people carrying these things through the streets slowly. All over Europe, they do this. You've been seeing wear the same outfits that where KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, got their little outfits from. They got it from the Roman Catholic Church. So like I said, it don't change. None of them said, you know what, instead of bringing out Jesus crucified or Jesus carrying his cross and this statue, this idol, let's switch it up and go to Zeus. Let's switch it up and do Aphrodite. Let's switch it up and do Minerva. It has not happened. What they do is what they will continue to do till the delusion is revealed. But then when we get into the whole conversation of the little homosexuality conversation, then you get, of course, Negroes who are never getting exposed for being a part of Prince of Freemasonry or Black Greek organizations. They come out and start running their mouth. One of them was Kendrick Perkins.
I've changed my life over the last 5 or 6 years. Gave my life to God. And when God comes over you, you actually don't look up to nobody but him. From a place when I watch him, yes, he talked about his struggles. He was very vulnerable. It was how he felt. Do I agree with it? Absolutely not. Because do I have family members and some friends that are, you know, gay? Yes. And I love them. So, but at the end of the day, we talk about freedom of speech. It was his freedom of speech. You're right. In America, you have the freedom of speech. That doesn't mean it doesn't come with consequences. And maybe he was willing to accept those consequences. Now he has to accept those consequences. Real quick, in the Bible, it says, if you're going to go all into me, then give me everything. Drop every single thing that you're doing and come fully invested. So I know a lot of people always make jokes about people who say that, but that's in the word of the book. That's in the word. I look at a person that's been hurt, but I also look at a young man that was vulnerable, dealing with injuries, was a lottery pick, team was having success without him, was traded at a young age from Detroit, traded to another situation. All of those things start playing with your psyche, right? And start playing with your mental. I don't know how deep he was into his Christianity before the injury, but it seemed like he had a lot of time and he dove even deeper to his beliefs. I just think this is just the start of this entire deal. When it comes to Jay Navi, I believe that other people are about to get involved.
And what he means by that, they're going to attack freedom of speech. That's what it is. That's what it's always been about, control. And they'll use whatever dumb Negro they want to exalt on a platform, or who's wanting to be exalted on a platform, to be somebody, to be used as in these little rituals. All you had to do is go to Jaden Ivey's Instagram and know that he erased majority of those pictures. Why do they do that? Because they want to now revamp his image. Can't revamp his image if he's once had pictures of him either in the club or doing other things. Now, if you go to his wife's Instagram, they share a picture where they were baptized and you get a certificate, which I don't, that must be a Christian thing of once you're being baptized, you get a certificate for the world. Like you get a presentation of you giving your life over to the Most High Yah. But they're not giving their life over to the Most High Yah. They're giving their life over to Jesus Christ and Christianity. And they tried to be slick. She also tried to delete some of the pictures that she had on her Instagram because they were too spotty and splotchy, like 2005, then it jumped to 2023, then it jumped to 2024. Like, it wasn't a consistent posting. And I was looking for December, specifically December. I was seeing if they were doing Christmas. And I think she missed one because they had their child, one of their toddlers, dressed up as Santa's elf, sitting on, I think, the wooden horse or something like that. But it was very Christmas-oriented. But I didn't see any Christmas tree, Christmas decorations and all that, so they deleted it. And they must have told them to delete it so people who are truly in the truth wouldn't attack them and say, okay, nah, this is nothing. They're still doing Christmas. They're still doing this, this, this. And there's no way in the world that they were skipping over that. If they're in Christianity, I guarantee you they are doing Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter. And somehow those things were erased. Which is a funny coincidence that they did this leading up to, or the 6 days away from, Easter Sunday. But Kendrick Perkins is the same. To be on that platform, you know you have to be close to Prince Hall Freemasonry. This is what, I gave my life to God, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, of course, they have to defend and coddle the homosexual community. Oh, you know, I still love them. Okay, if you have a murderer in your family, do you come out and say, oh, I still love that murderer? I have a thief in my family. I still love that thief. I have an adulterer in my family. Oh, I still love that adulterer. You never hear them say that. It's always, oh, I got gays in my family, and I still love them. They have to emphasize that what these people doing isn't against scripture. They are supposed to be given all the grace and long suffering in the world. Mind you, we're not in the Old Testament where we're throwing stones and rocks at anybody. And I know some of you know family members that you are close with, cousins with, brothers with, sisters with, aunts and uncles with, that are gay, but we don't treat them no different. No different than somebody who steals, somebody who murders, and somebody who's an adulterer, or somebody who's a liar. Sin is a sin. But we truly are not going to coddle and accept their behavior. I got one cousin that's going off the rails with his little homosexual flights. Like, I follow him on Instagram, and sometimes in the earliest stages, he was dressing up as Megan Thee Stallion. I think that was a little bit more of a shot at me because I was in the news at the time of going at her. So he, for Halloween that year, he dressed up as Megan Thee Stallion. He had like tape on his nipples. He had a wig on. He had like a little skirt. And it's wild because that's my father's brother's son, his firstborn son. And so it's low-key embarrassing, especially, I mean, I'm surprised people didn't find out, but, you know, he had, my parents had to be told, or my uncle had to be told, like, yo, he's wilding, you have to tell him to settle down. Now, he's mellowed out after he got all that rebellious energy out of me. I can see he's settled down, like, he's not as what he's used to be doing. But I didn't ever treat him no different. Not a bit. But there's certain things I choose not to get into with him. But back to this whole, and then you get Ryan Clark. And I talked about him yesterday. Ryan Clark is a Pittsburgh Steelers player. He's a Kappa Alpha Psi member. And of course, they're trying to push this. It's about mental health. It's the reason why he's doing this, or he's in Christianity, it's a mental health reason. Now they're thinking, oh, Christians are crazy because it's because they're talking against one sin that's been in the Bible since forever. Now they make anybody who is attached to the scriptures being mentally insane.
Now let's talk about the Christianity piece of it, because so many times we use Christianity, and we see that more and more in today's society, we use Christianity to veil the hate and the evil that we want to spew, because people feel like if I say it comes from God, or if I can point to where it is in the Bible, now I'm bulletproof. Mm-hmm. Right? Where in Matthew 22, 37 through 39, it talks about the golden rule, right? It's love God, right? First. And then it's love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Like that's what we are told to do. And so to go on a rant about religion, to be questioning other people's religion, and then talk about the NBA's involvement with the LGBTQ community, knowing that you're also partnered with the WNBA, knowing that this is something that they support immensely, you're putting yourself in position to be treated in this way. And for Jaden Ivey, I think we have to look deeper into the mental health of what's going on as well.
Again, trying to make Christianity or anybody attached or speaking scriptures crazy. Trying to ban a book they can't ban. Trying to coddle a sin they can't coddle. And Ryan Clark is, like I said, is a Kappa Alpha Psi member. If you don't know anything about Black Greek organizations, if you are a called out assembly Gentile and you're outside of the race of the Israelites, this is what it is. Albert Pike, the 33rd degree Freemason, who was a Confederate general, he handed down the Scottish Rite rituals to Thornton A. Jackson, who was a Prince Hall Freemason, and Prince Hall is parallel to Scottish Rite. So all their rites, rituals, ceremonies, degrees come from Albert Pike. The morals and dogma, the same thing that Kendrick Lamar tried to do with his album, the Hot Steppers and something. And it was, the album looked exactly like Morals and Dogma, the book. That's Scottish Rite. So when Thornton A. Jackson got amongst other uppity sellout Negroes, they said, we need to make lodges within college universities. So they attacked the HBCUs heavily, and all the organization all across, you know, predominantly white institutions. So they set up shop. Now, Elder Watson Diggs was a Prince Hall Freemason. They went to beg the Panhellenic Council to be accepted as a fraternal order. So the Panhellenic Council said, okay, we'll give you a guide for you to bear oaths to. The members of Kappa Alpha Psi, they get on their hands and their knees and they bear oaths to Apollo, which is a sun god. No different from Helios Christos, no different from Mithras, no different from Jesus Christ. All from the children of Yavon or the Yavinium or the Grecians, the same Grecians mentioned in the Book of Maccabees during the Maccabean Revolt. They are also called heathens in scripture, particularly in that book. So through these little rituals they do, like pass the egg, which is them cracking open some egg yolk. One pledge, you know, puts it in his mouth and hold it. Then he turns to the other pledge who's laying on his back and they pour it in their mouths. And it's like a little conveyor belt. They pour the same egg yolk in each other's mouths all the way down the line. Then they do a thing called taking wood, which is a very large paddle. It's like, you know, those Roman Catholic paddles that you get spanked with in Catholic school, or the big paddles that they used during slavery. It had holes in it, like wooden holes in it, so like the air would go through when you would smack. That's how big those paddles were. If you look up Black Greek organization paddles, you see them. They even had these Greek letters on these paddles, and they put them up in their rooms and dorms. Proud. So after they go through these little rituals for a good season or a good rush season, then they become selected. And they're already indoctrinated with somebody else's God, They already indoctrinated with somebody else's beliefs and doctrines and rituals. Their mind is completely gone. So now they have to truly sell out by upholding the beliefs system of those who practice Freemasonry, basically. And Freemasonry is nothing but Jewish mysticism. Isaac Mayer Wise, who was a rabbi, he said that Freemasonry was Jewish from the beginning to the end. That its ceremonies, its degrees, its rituals, all of it is Jewish. If we could take Freemasonry back to the around the dark, it would around the Crusades, what were they doing? Worshipping Baphomet and doing homosexual acts behind closed doors. That's why they were found out. So it's a phallic worshipping cult. So the underlining doctrine of Freemasonry is to do homosexual acts as a ritual. Now they want to bring these rituals out front. So of course they wouldn't be against it in scripture because that's what they do. They don't do these little boy bride rituals for nothing. I didn't see a girl and grown man bride ritual that they do in Freemasonry. It's been boy, man rituals. So that's what they do. And he gets on there running his mouth, trying to sound smart in this podcast they do or this show they do called The Pivot. It's literally the dumbest show ever. And I know almost everybody that's sitting on that platform, The Pivot or I Am Athlete, they're Prince Hall Freemasons. They've given this platform to talk about absolutely nothing. Remember when they brought Dwayne Wade, I think, on I Am Athlete? It was the same thing, trying to use him to have what he was doing to his son accepted amongst the black community. They're not doing this for the white community. They're doing this for the black community. So going back to this whole Catholics and Holy Week, all of this is the lead up to Easter. All this now is becoming a conversation in churches because everybody floods now to their churches on Easter for that energy and to give. And it's like, okay, they swear like Christianity is under attack, so let's give more money to it. Maybe if we give more money to our pastor, it would help the problem spiritually. That's where people's minds are. People's minds are to okay, if we can't fix the problem, let's throw money to it so that our pastors can preach the word all over the country, all over the world. It's been mega church after mega church after mega church, pastor after pastor, and yet this country has not turned anywhere away from going into the Antichrist, going into Luciferianism, going into low-key Satanism. Not all the prayers, not all the Bible showing, not all the performances out of the Christian church. Nothing has changed the direction or the trajectory of spirituality in this country. Not one bit. And that's what people think. By throwing more money into the situation, it's going to fix it. It's never fixed it, even with our economy. Printing and printing money has never fixed anything. It's like I said, it's people's minds are gone and you can't save these people. Just like I get sick and tired of listening to Jameis Winston.
Man, there's something about that name, Jesus. Jesus has won. He has risen. It's already done, man. We're getting close to Easter time, man, and we just celebrate, man, because it's...
Man, sit your dumb ass down.
I can't stand that cat. They trying to make everything about Christianity, Jesus. And as soon as the word comes up, no one wants to defend it now. Everybody wants to be like, no, he's risen. Let's get into he's risen. He's the love of Jesus. Like, he loves everybody. God loves everybody. The Old Testament God is not the same as the New Testament God. This is what they do. And they need these Negro characters to propagate Christianity because they know we are walking away from this religion. They know we're walking away from this doctrine. The black church right now is more full of women than it is of men. And the men they have in those churches are weak men. Weak men that are not going to stand on their own. You see how good they're burying now, this whole UIC thing. It didn't have the same effect they thought it was going to have. Their presence online is really non-existent at this point. They're going to pop up when it comes to doing something else. But now they already ran its course. They thought like they were going to bring everybody into this truth. They thought it was going to stop. See, like I said, they don't know what the Most High is going to do. They don't know who the Most High is going to wake up. They don't know how this is going to go because they've never gone through this before. It has never been where the Most High is going to pour out his Ruach upon all flesh. They didn't know how this was going to go. They thought it was going to be like a little sect that we were going to follow this little purple people gang. And then all of a sudden find out that they were false and then disband altogether. They thought that this was going to happen. The same thing what they did with QAnon. When they brought QAnon out in the front and they trashed it and burned it to the ground. And now nobody's talking about where we go one, we go all. No one's talking about QAnon or Q this, Q that. No one's talking about it now, right? It all went away. That's what they thought Black Hebrew Israelites were going to do. They thought it was going to all fade away. Because you can't be on street corners cursing, yelling, screaming at white folks the entire time and think you could do that for a whole 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. You don't have the energy for it. Because after a while, it looks stupid. And you're not getting any money for it either. Look at the little Sakari Israelite camp. Look at how fast that disbanded. The Most High has a way of exposing people's sins to where we like, all right, we ain't following these people no more. The Most High will not have his word or his people altered anymore. It's truly a redemptive time. Truly. Those who are wanting to follow his law, statutes, commandments are being exalted. And not just Israelites, but the called out assembly Gentiles. Truly exalted. And he's purging away people who are taking pride in this awakening and turning it into something else. He's pushing them to the side. And you're starting to see more and more every day, those who have truly been with him are being pushed now slowly to the forefront. Now, he's saying that here, you can't deal with this. These are mine. You can't do nothing to this right now. You see what I'm doing? You see the plant that I'm purging? You see the plant that I'm growing with my love, my word? You can't do nothing with these people. You can't make a ritual out of them. So to get into also this little Easter Sunday, I don't know why either it be the called out assembly Gentiles or the Israelites in the Israelite community. I don't know why y'all are doing Passover around the same time there was Ramadan, around the same time that Judaism is doing their Passover. And then Easter, how can you think that this is a set apart weekend? How do you think this is set apart? I'm not understanding this. Why do you believe that this is set apart where y'all are now doing Passover the same time as Judaism? It does not make sense to me. And when I looked up why did they did the when was the resurrection, it's just look it up. They say, why do they say it's in the Northern Hemisphere? Because they believe that the fake Israel is the real Israel, that's where he was crucified. And it was not. Y'all don't understand the Most High pushed all these nations up out of his true land. He pushed Persia all the way to the Middle East. He pushed Babylon all the way to the Middle East. Assyria, he pushed them all the way to the Middle East. He pushed them up out of his land. The Most High is so set apart. Why do you think he's going to allow to have his Pesach around the same holidays, pagan holidays, as all these other nations? These same nations that he can't stand. These idols that he hates. Why would he confuse his children by having a Passover, his most holy feast day? One of his most holy feast days, the feast days that started it all. Why would you believe he would institute this feast day on the same calendar, in the same hemisphere, in the same time as these other pagan gods? And I looked up something else too. They said that he was crucified in the month of Nisan, which is the first month. But if you look through scripture, there's 2 months that they call the first of the month, Abib and Nisan. Now, Nisan is mentioned in Esther 3:7. The first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Xerxes, they cast Pur, that is the lot before Haman, from day to day and from month to month, until the 12th month, that is the month of Adar. So, for some reason, when they went to Babylonian captivity or Persian captivity, now they're talking about a Babylonian calendar. They're not talking about the Hebrew calendar. They're talking about the Babylonian calendar. Now, if you look in the David Rumsey's map collection, Real Persia, Media, Medra, Medii, it was in Central Africa. Now, Central Africa does not have, back me up, anybody who's from Central Africa or know of the seasons of Central Africa, there is a wet season and there is a dry season. They don't really have what we have as winter, spring, summer, fall. They don't have that. They have, it rains a little bit, it rains a lot. There is no like summer, winter, fall really in Central Africa. So what was the true month of a babe? What was the true first of the month to them? Was it when it was the dry season or when it was the wet season? And the additions of Esther is mentioned twice. In Esther 1:1 and Esther 5:7 in the additions to Esther, and that is in the Sefer. That's the only time Nisan is mentioned. And then when you go to Abib, it's mentioned in Deuteronomy once and in Exodus three times. And it says, Exodus 13:4, this came ye out in the month of Abib. Exodus 23:15, shall guard the feast of Masah. You shall eat Masah 7 days as I commanded you in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in it you came out of from Mizraim, and none shall appear before me empty. 34:18, feast of Masah shall you guard, 7 days you shall eat Masah, as I commanded you in the time of the month of Abib, for in the month of Abib you came out up from Mizraim. Deuteronomy 16:1, the month of Abib, and keep the Pesach unto your Elohaka, for in the month of Abib, Yahuwah Elohaka brought you forth out of Mizraim by night. Now, we know Mizraim is in the northern hemisphere. How do y'all know what month that was? What was the season at that time? Now, if he said he brought them out by night, I don't think the Most High would have brought them out during when it was cold or freezing. He could have. He could have brought them out while it was cold and freezing and had them being sukkuk, being a booth or a tent in the seventh month, but we don't know. It just said it's the first month. We don't know when that is. But we know where they went to, they didn't go and stayed in the northern hemisphere because it didn't take 40 years to go from Egypt or Goshen to fake Israel. That's a day's walk. One day. That's a day's walk. How can you turn a day's walk into 40 years of wandering? Especially if you go by the path that they said happened. Only way you can go 40 years and wander in that wilderness is if you go into Africa, all around Africa, from north to south to west, to go all the way around there. The only way you're going to hide giants is going to be in Africa, where there's a vast wilderness. Vast land, especially when that's where they were born. If all life came out of Africa, that means the angels saw Adam and Eve and saw the children's, the daughters of these, of the first married couple, had to be when they were in Garden of Eden. When they said they were raised, when they left out of the Garden of Eden, they went to the land of the creation. They called it Elda, which I think was East. I looked up the maps and Mount Hermon is on that around the east, southeast Africa. That's what the cartographers are making. So it seems to me that if life came out of Africa, that means the fallen angels were around southern Africa. And it was looking at those daughters, procreated with them. And then they had giants. And they were in a land big enough to sustain them for a time. Now, we can get into this whole Pangea of if you look at the continents, they were once all one, which would make sense of how people spread out or how giants spread out all over North America. And he took the Smithsonian took these bones and hit them. But the news stories were already out. The news stories about how Indians, Native American tribes fought with these giant men. So if you look at the, you know, Florida, you look at South America, and it looks like it fits so nicely into Africa. That's why I think Florida's seasons mirrors North Africa's seasons. But my point is, where do you think that the Most High made his land? And where do you think Yahushua was truly when he was crucified? What hemisphere? This is what being set apart is. This is why I pushed that southern hemisphere on y'all. The Most High is truly set apart. He don't want no parts of a Gregorian calendar. He doesn't want no parts of a Julian calendar. He wants no parts of any other calendar that's not his own. He's not going to partake in any other land that's not his own. He says the world is his, yes. But he has never called any other nation or any other people's lands outside of his own his. So I know that the Most High is so set apart and holy that he would never put his feast day amongst the feast days of these pagan nations. Especially when he talked so heavenly against idols. Especially in the epistle of Jeremiah or Yirmiyahu. It goes, a copy of a sefer which Yirmiyahu sent unto them, which were led captives into Babel by the king of the inhabitants of Babel to certify them as it was commanded of him, commanded him of Elohim or of Yahuwah. Because of the sins which ye have committed before Elohim, ye shall be led away captives into Babel by Nebuchadnezzar, king of the inhabitants of Babel. So when ye are come unto Babel, ye shall remain there many years and for a long season, namely 7 generations. And after that, I will bring you away peaceably from thence. Now shall ye see in Babel Elohim of silver and of gold and of wood, borne upon shoulders which caused the nations to fear. Fast forward. And we know the Roman Catholic Church and the Europeans steal from other people's cultures and make it their own. It's like they stole from Egypt and just renamed and whitewashed the gods of Isis, Horus, Set, sun, you know, sun gods, death gods, love gods, fertility gods. They stole and whitewashed them. Just like they took the whole theory of idols, gold, silver, wood, and borne upon shoulders. They took the same doctrines, the same belief system as Babylonians and merged it with theirs. This is why they get the saints. This is why they get the whole carrying Jesus, him carrying the cross or being crucified on the cross, carrying it through streets. It's the same. It's Babylon. Mystery Babylon, whatever you want to call it, is Babylon. That's exactly why it's called that in scripture. They're doing the same thing that Babylon was destroyed for. Beware, therefore, that ye in no wise be like to strangers, neither be ye and of them, when ye see the multitude before them and behind them, worshiping them. Cut to the Holy Week in Catholicism. I'm pretty sure you saw these videos all online. Either be X, X, Instagram, or TikTok. You see them doing the whole rocking slowly and moving slowly, with these big ass statues sitting on top of these little platforms. Guarantee you've seen it. Most Yah says, beware therefore that ye in no wise be like to strangers, neither be ye and of them, when ye see the multitude before them and behind them, worshiping them. But say ye in your hearts, O Yahuwah, we must worship you. For my angel is with you, and I myself caring for your souls. He didn't say he was caring for the souls of Babylon. He didn't say he was caring for the souls of the Roman Catholic Church. He didn't say he was caring for the souls of Christianity. The Most High said he wants us set apart even when going into captivity. So why all of a sudden you Negroes, you Israelites, awakened or unawakened, why do you continue to not seek the scriptures to find out why we are supposed to be set apart? Why would we want to share a holiday with Judaism? The same people that put you in slavery. Why do you want to share a holy week with Islam, Ramadan, when they put you in slavery? Why do you want to share the feast day of Yahuwah, Pesach, with Easter, Ishtar, Semiramis, when Christianity whipped and beat you into a slave doctrine and then used your own scriptures against you after redacting the scriptures that would set you free? The Most High talks about his angel, Exodus 23:23-25. He says, "For my angel shall go before you and bring you in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. You shall not bow down to their Elohim, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve Yahuwah El Hakam, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you." Some of you have bone issues, sickly issues, mind issues, emotional issues. All of this can be cured if you seek and sought the scriptures in the holy way, to be set apart and not like everybody else. You are cursing yourself. You are cursing the fruit of your womb. You are cursing the fruit of your hands, the fruit of your household, because of your high-mindedness, your haughty-mindedness, your arrogance, your pride, your stiff-neckedness. Exodus 32, "And Moshe returned unto El Yahuwah and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them Elohi of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray you, out of your sea for which you have written." This is Moshe literally about to lay down his life, being a testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach. He's ready to lay down his life to blot out the sins of Yisrael through him. "And Yahuwah said unto Moshe, Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my sefer. Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my sefer. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." The whole time, through Egypt till now, an angel has been with us. An angel has been guarding us. An angel has been watching over us. And this angel comes with a sword. This angel can set apart. This angel does the will of the Most High Yahuwah. If you read enough scripture, you know that angels have always been around the nation of Yisrael. And you know that one of the stories of when Moshe was told by his father-in-law not to circumcise one of his sons. And then when he went try to go back to Egypt, an angel was there and was going to come down and smote the child. With sword ready, Zipporah saw this, went and picked up a rock and circumcised the child right there in the street. That's how the Most High has been watching us and watching over us. Revelation 22:14-16. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and makes a lie." That seems kind of tight, don't it? "For without are dogs." Now, dogs also symbolizes homosexuality. "I, Yahushua, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the called out assemblies. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright star rising in the morning." And of course, people who are ignorant to scripture, they love to say, well, Lucifer is the son of the morning. And then here is Yahushua saying he is the bright star rising in the morning. The ignorant love to do that, to try to pick apart scripture, and they're going to let that happen. I guarantee you this has to be, that's going to be one of the doctrines of Luciferianism, that, oh, you see, Jesus Christ, he's the sun in the morning, but he also was the sun in the morning when Ezekiel, or in the earlier parts of the Old Testament, when they were talking about Satan. It's the same people. That's why people are saying that now, like, oh, Lucifer and Jesus are the same person, even in gematria. When you type in Jesus is Lucifer, it comes out perfectly in satanic cipher 666. So I can tell you they're already getting ready to work that angle. And people are going to fall for it. And it's like, oh, okay, I don't have to be wicked. I don't have to be righteous, which they weren't righteous in the beginning. Nobody, Trayvon Henderson, which is another football player that was talking about scripture, Jaden Ivey, all these other celebrity Christians that are coming out and defending homosexuality, they have never followed the word. No athlete or Christian athlete has ever truly followed the word. Even we are on the outside of it now. Even me, during my playing days, I was praying to God and I was a Christian and I wasn't following no laws, statutes, or commandments. You just thought like, oh, all I have to do is not get arrested or never, don't break man's law and you good. You're a good Christian if you don't break man's law, which is the biggest sham, lie, and sob this world has ever pulled on people, and to believe that the Most High is not strict. And I'm going to end it with this question that not a Christian, but the name is Christian. he said that he has been a listener for years. What are my thoughts on attending Messianic churches, synagogue? Have you ever been to one? Do you think this type of church is a good way for believers awaken to the truth to attend for fellowship and worship? And I say absolutely not. Even if you've been attending for 3 months now and you think it's great, but you will be stagnating your walk. So if you become part of a community and part of a group that is not truly seeking the scriptures or growing from scripture, you are going to bottleneck yourself into their doctrine, because you're not going to be able to see something wrong that they do and be able to stand up against it. You're going to accept it and say, okay, I don't want to be ostracized from this community, so let me continue and mindly, you know, basically ignore something that they say or do that's against scripture. I talked about this at length on many of my episodes, that you should not be a part of a community, especially when you're now being awakened. Because you don't know where your growth is going to lead you. You don't know where Yah is going to lead you. I don't know why people are so hungry to get into community for fellowship. You don't need to fellowship with nobody except from the Most High Yahuwah. How are you going to hear the Most High's calling on your life if it's being muddled and watered down by people you go and see in a church? Because everybody that goes into a church is going to listen to one person running that church. It's not a community effort. No one has ever said, okay, I seen that this is what we do. This is what we should do in scripture, and stand up and say, this is what I think we should be doing. And everybody turns and listens and do it. No, it's going to be one person dictating how that church is led. I would never go to a messianic synagogue. Now, I've known somebody who was she's married to him, but he played in NFL too. And they came to my wedding and she pulled me aside. It's like, oh, we didn't know that you do this. Like, we also do new moons and offerings. They do some of the stuff we do, but when it comes to the real, true, proper way, they ain't doing it. They're not seeking and finding out calendars and all that stuff. They're not doing it. But I know that their mind is limited, their growth is limited because of they going into a community. What if the Most High wants you to do offerings? He wants you to stay at home and do offerings on a specific day that you need to go into this messianic synagogue. What do you do? Who do you listen to? Because you're so desirous of a community, so desirous of fellowship, that you ignore when the Most High is talking to you. Especially when you grow, when you're still a babe in this walk. When you grow, you don't need to be around multiple communities and multiple people fellowshipping because everybody's on a different level of this awakening, if they're on awakening at all. So yeah, you might be getting into it because it's new and it's great and everybody's vibing, but watch when this hammer comes down. What do you think that community is going to do when that hammer comes down and they haven't read the prophecy in Ezra and Baruch and they haven't brought out those scriptures that talk about specifically the end times and what's going to be on people's hearts and minds during those times when they won't have resources, when they have to steal, when they have to kill, when it will be brother against brother? Let's see where that community is 2 years from now, 3 years from now. How are you going to come out of that community? Because by now you're attached to it. If one thing I know about religion is that once the lights go out, people fend for themselves. It becomes about self-preservation over top of Jesus Christ the God. Or over type of their religious beliefs, it becomes self-preservation. So that's my advice. All you got to do is go in there, listen to what they say, and if they are not bringing out certain scriptures, that means it is not being led properly. If they don't talk about the books of Ezra, they don't talk about the books of Baruch, if they're not talking about new moon offerings, drink offerings, Shabbat offerings, all of these are continual offerings to the end of time. Even if you go through the scripture, he talks about he's going to make people come back to the ordinances of giving ascending smoke offerings. So if your church or wherever the synagogue that you're going to are not bringing out these scriptures, it is pointless to go. It is pointless to be a part of that fellowship because you are not growing. I know what I know about altars, building my own altar, ascending smoke offerings, getting the right meats, doing these feast days properly. The only way I knew to do it right was not to be a part of an assembly. Because when I was trying to be low-key a part of an assembly, we were led all over the place. Leaning on somebody else's understanding instead of the Most High's understanding and how he deals with you, choosing to listen to a man and trust in man and not trust in Yah, you're going to get going around the bend. He's going to make sure you go around the bend until you come back to him. You're supposed to be lonely and isolated at this point, especially if you're just waking up. You're supposed to go through this period of isolation. So when the lights truly go out, the economic system crashes, you're going to need to rely on what the Most High says to you, because he ain't going to shout it in your ear. He's going to faintly say it so you know it's him. That's how it works. In the days of old with the Israelites, he was talking out of a cloud. He was talking out of a bush. He wasn't screaming and yelling. And where was the Israelites, or where was Moshe at the time that he was being spoken to him? Isolated. Up in Mount Sinai, isolated. Outside the tabernacle, isolated. The time is coming when he's going to be dealing with everybody. He's going to be dealing with those who want to be obedient. And those who don't want to be a part of this system and its holidays and its feast days and its calendar, it's going to come a time. Because even when Yahushua said that even the elect may be fooled, if it was possible, even the elect will be fooled. That's how strong that delusion that's coming. That's how strong it will be if it can even very well affect those who are chosen. That is why I'm at hard studying numerology that they use, because I know when they're coming out, it's going to be a numerology attached to it. And the only reason why I know that, because like I said, the beast system that comes out, or the man, the beast, the man, the beast, the man that's coming out, that's going to have 666, it says calculate the number of the man or the number of the beast, which is his name. They say calculate. So that was Yokohana knowing straight off jump that it was going to be some math involved. And it ain't going to be just the math that you grew up with in school. It will be a specific type of math that you need to calculate. That's why it says, he that has wisdom. So I know when whatever pops on that stage, all I'm going to do is run it. Run it through the numerology, and I'm going to find out if it's 666 or not. And I guarantee you, I can't guarantee you this, But I'm pretty sure, like, if the Most High is so set apart, he ain't gonna come back in the time where you think that it's gonna be on the Gregorian calendar where it makes sense. I know that much. I would like to say I know that much. The Most High brags and boasts about that land so much. I don't see him coming back during where everybody else is doing these feast days. He's so holy, he wants to let you know that it's him. And not the Antichrist, not Jesus Christ, not any other false apostle or false teacher that they're going to put on this platform. Because they need this system. They won't come out of this system as far as the Antichrist, the false apostle. They built this system numerically. So everything has to go boom, 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 boom. It will never be something dislodged from this mechanical system that they have built. They built this system for a reason. They built it through numerology for a reason. To trap you in this system. It's seasons. It's feast days. It's calendar. They trapped you like this for a reason. So you won't readily identify when something is off. And by the time you think something is off, you'll think it's an enemy of this system. And you will protect this system because it's foreign to you. That's my whole point. You protect this system because it will be foreign to you when the new one comes, when Yah comes, when Yahusha comes. Because it doesn't say he comes when everything is in turmoil. That's when the Antichrist is coming. When 7 years tribulation happens, it didn't say Yahusha will return at a time of extreme turmoil. It says when everybody is quiet, I'm coming like a thief in the night. You come in a thief in the night when everything is calm. You don't look for Yahusha or Yahuwah when everything is still, when everything is quiet, when everyone is asleep. People who are in religion, they believe that the Savior is going to come when everything is in turmoil. And they're going to be looking for the Savior, looking for God, and they ain't going to show up. So they're like, all right, what we studied and what we learned and what we taught through these churches is bogus. Let's do away with it and let's accept whatever comes out of this chaos. We'll just do that because now it's going to promise us peace. It's going to promise us stability. It's going to promise us some calmness. That is when Yahuwah and Yahusha are going to show up to rock the boat. And people are going to be, if you read Revelation, it says people, even when they were given a space to repent, didn't repent. And they cursed the name of Yahuwah. Why? Because they're upset now. They have to re-go through the trials and tribulations of true judgment because they were fooled. And if you understand the mindset and the emotions of people today, people are narcissistic, stuck on themselves, they have personality disorders. They ain't going to repent. You can give them 4 or 5 more years of repentance. They still won't do it because they're so haughty, high-minded, and stiff-necked, which is also a curse that is talked about in Deuteronomy. The Most High said that the curses that you befell you, I will, when you come back to me, I'm going to turn these curses on your enemies. And what was the curse? Spiritual blindness and stiff-neckedness. That was a curse to us. So when it turns on these other nations, even when he gives them a space to repent, they won't repent. Because they feel like, oh, we didn't have to. We had something that was already good. We already went through the 7 years of tribulation. We got the Antichrist and the beast system. The beast system takes care of us. We don't have to worry about certain things anymore. Why do you want to come and disrupt it? Because people are already glued to this system numerically. Subconsciously and consciously, they're glued to it. Which is why they keep telling you 33 people died, 33,000 this, 300 that. That's why they keep these steady numeric numbers pumping in your brains. Tell you, man, the delusion is going to be thick. It's going to be so thick, your community, your churches will not stand. I guarantee you. So who are you going to listen to? Truly, who are you going to listen to when it really goes all over the place? You're going to be looking for a community then to help you get through the brainwashing you have being a part of this community. You're going to be, oh, where do I go to? What community can I go to now? Everything is falling. I need to be a part of the apocalyptic community now. You're going to be running around here and going to run right into your own snare, your own stumbling block. Most High wants us isolated, set apart, to the time he will gather us.